November 16, 1978, Mr. Charles Palmer of the Ridge Road in Gaines, New York, is being interviewed by Carrie Latin with Helen McAllister. Mr. Palmer was born in 1880, making him 98 years old. This is a conversation between two friends of days gone by.
When were you born?
1880.
What day? Your birthday, if November.
It was 28th day of September. 28th day of September, 1880.
Where?
Where were you born? Right here in Gaines?
Born down here in this. Well, you know where Jen Wright used to live? You know where Janice Burnham lives now?
Yeah.
First house east.
Yeah, I remember. I know.
You've
lived in Gaines all your life, haven't you?
Off and on all my life.
Can you remember when they sold whiskey over here at the hotel?
The first hotel people that I remember running this hotel over here is Servers.
Yeah. Did they sell whiskey there then?
Yeah.
How much did it cost? You got any idea?
10 cents.
For a drink of whiskey?
Yeah.
Well, did they sell it in bottles and draw it out of a barrel?
Yeah, you buy a bottle or a glass or whatever you wanted.
If you bought a bottle of it, would they draw it right out of a barrel?
Bottle of it was right out of the barrel. You could buy it for about, well, for a quart, it cost you about a dollar.
For a quart of whiskey?
Yeah.
It's probably pretty good whiskey, too.
Yeah, I guess so. They used it to drink it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What relation was Al Palmer to you, an uncle?
Uncle.
Well, he had a distillery up here, didn't he, in the west end of the village?
Oh, he ran that cider mill up there, and the cider mill, distillery, and dried apples on the same building.
Yeah, he shipped the stuff all over the world.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some of his ledgers up in the historian's office where he shipped it to Massachusetts and as far west as Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
You remember when they made dried soup there?
Yeah, I remember when they made. I can't remember when they started, but I can remember. I used to be around over there quite a lot, and they used to have a big elevator west of the dry house. There was a great big bin that went down a kind of a little. They back right up there and open up the inboard of your car. Of course, everyone had wagons those days.
Yeah.
And open up the end board of your wagon and run right down there, right where you could go right up a chute right into the building there, into the grinder, and grind apples there day in and out. And I used to feed that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then I used to be around there quite a lot, and that's about the only thing I ever done in the working part. They made this cider brandy cider, and I know Len Wells used to do all the trucking. He used to, at that time, he used to do a lot of the trucking.
With a team of horses?
Yeah, yeah.
How much you get an hour for working there a day?
I don't remember just what it was, not very much.
Dollar a day, maybe?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
Well, how many women did he have working there in the fall when he was
women?
Busy? Yeah. Did he have a lot of women there peeling apples?
Yeah, he used to have Well, they must have been, they must have been a dozen, the way I can remember it, I think there must have been a dozen or 15 machines in there, women running it.
Running those paring machines?
Yeah, yeah. Paring machines.
From Albion or where?
Yeah.
Local. Those girls would be all right around Gaines here, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
All local.
Yeah.
I remember when Hat Hells used to tell about working there in the dry house in the fall. Hat Hells. You remember Hat Hells? Horace Hells' mother?
Yeah.
I remember she used to work there in the fall. She was an old lady.
I was trying to think. I got a picture of that.
Later.
Get it later, Charlie. Set, before we go, we'll take a look at it for you.
I got a picture of that dry house up there.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. Yeah. Well, was that the same dry house that, Jake Shannels run later?
Yeah.
I remember taking apples down there when I was a kid, probably 12 years old, with Elmer Sanford.
Yeah.
Taking down 7 or 8, 10 bushel apples in a, Democrat wagon with an old bobtail mare. Pa let me pick up in the old orchard to get us some money.
Professor, you said, I can figure out you should pick up apples over there when we, of course we had to, we worked at that farm up there, Mr. Kemp's, of course.
Yeah.
He was pretty tight, but you had to, everything went off there, he had to have half of it, see, and I used to go over there and pick up apples. You'd get enough to go to the fair, when the fair was on. Then I'd go up, walk up to your place up there when your father and your grandfather lived up there where you live now, and ride over with them, and they'd always have something to take to the fairs, or horses, or cattle, or something like that. Brave Holland lived there at that time.
Yeah, my grandfather brought Brave up.
Yeah.
Can you remember when my grandfather used to have oxen at the fair?
And what?
Oxen.
Yeah.
When you lived up there on the Kemp farm, and there was the old academy up there on the hill, that was used for a dwelling, wasn't it? Did somebody live there? It was used for a dwelling. Do you remember anything about the old academy?
Well, the first day I remember about the old academy up there, Mr. Royce, Rance Royce owned it. And of course he kept it, and he rented it out to different people to live up there. Myron House's father lived up there one time.
Yeah, I remember.
And I can't remember who else lived there, or the different families lived there. And the last one I remember living up there was Faye
Maxson.
Faye Maxson.
Yeah.
And they took him away. They went up there and got him and took him away.
Well, he was a little bit funny.
Yeah. He was out of his head most of the time.
But when you were a boy, that academy had been closed up, hadn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't academy anymore.
Private families lived up there.
Can you remember when any of the, when there was any stagecoach left on the Ridge Road?
No. No. No, I don't remember. That's before my time.
Well, when they ran the hotel over here, when Thurber ran it, did they serve regular meals there all the while?
Well, yeah, you could go and get your meal in there anytime you wanted.
Well, did...
Yeah.
Did anybody live at the hotel there, stay at the hotel, boarders, the roomers?
Oh, yes, there's different ones that worked out around different places. It used to be taken in the fall. They used to, quite a lot of the fellows used to board down here, and they'd pick apples up to Courtland Chester's, and up that way, you know, up there to Orrin Mathers up here, and they lived right there in the hotel and boarded up there. People that come through, like these tramps, you might say.
Yeah.
You know. And, yeah.
Do you remember when Rich Andrews had the harness shop?
Yeah.
He made harnesses.
He made
a harness for my dad when he went to help the fireman, I guess. And I guess it was still around when Dad died, this handmade harness that Rich Andrews made.
It was a... He committed suicide.
I never knew about that.
Yeah. He lived over there in that place where Clark just moved out of, over there. Well, it's the second house west of where Gates Knickerbocker used to have it. He lived in that house there. They found him under the... He was, a road commissioner or something like that, and he'd been using some of the funds or something, and he was getting after him and took the wrong way out.
Yeah.
And they found him under that house there. And then there was the Chesters living in the next house, Chester girls. And the next house is Rance Royce. He lived there and owned that place up the lane.
Well,
and Alvie Fuller married his daughter. You remember Alvie Fuller used to...
Well, I've heard my aunt speak about Alvie Fuller, but I never knew him. He got away from here before I got around to him.
Well, he come from down around...
Waterport?
That place this side of Lakeside there.
Cuckville.
Yeah, Cuckville. He lived there. Then he come up here and he run that grocery store over here, that brick school, store was over here, run that. Then he sold out, and I think he sold out to Charlie Hutchinson. That was Mrs. Hutchinson's husband.
Yeah, that'd be Catherine's grandfather.
Huh?
Catherine's grandfather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Fuller went down to Rockport and bought out Hank Miller. Hank Miller ran a livery stable down there. He bought him out and moved to Rockport.
Yeah.
And my sister went down there, and I don't know whether somebody else, seems there was some other woman, girl went with her. They went to Rockport Normal down there and boarded to Elvis Fuller's.
That your sister had been Josephine.
Yeah.
Well, she taught school over here.
Yeah, she taught schools before different places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Gates Knickerbocker, did he ever do anything besides tinker with watches, or did he just tinker with watches? He was a watch fixer, wasn't he, Gates?
He took care of watches and fiddles and stuff like that. Gates Knickerbocker.
Did he have an orchestra at one time? Playing an orchestra?
He used to play up there when they used to have these big public dances over here. And lots of times they used to have parties that come from the lake up here, and they'd have then some of the bunch would go back down there sometimes to the lake, and they'd have these little small dances. And at that time they had to pick up all the orchestras and the people that played any kind of an instrument to give you an orchestra, see?
Yeah.
And Gates was playing that. Sometimes you didn't know whether you were playing them violin or piccolo.
What kind of dancing did they do?
You're going half lit up.
He kind of took a little drink down then.
Yeah.
What kind of dances would they have? The square dances or round dances? Kitty had stuff hanging in the store there, his shop, fiddles and piccolos or something like that. I never heard him play,
He used to play around to it. He never played to, didn't make it regular, but he could play them, and then he'd get in the orchestra up there. Lots of times he'd be somebody but Bob Taylor from the Bridges down there. He'd about like Gates Knickerbocker, only he worked out for somebody else all the while and did, and he'd be in an orchestra and all that kind of that's the kind of an orchestra they had those days. That is for those kind of dances. Then when they had the regular dances, then they had regular orchestras.
Yeah.
I've been to dances over here, and there'd be 200 couple over here.
Yeah. Well, 60 years ago, they'd fill that hall pretty well filled up too.
Yeah.
Along in the 20s and 30s, it was having, when the Grange ran that place, it was having awful crowds over there.
Yeah.
And I've heard say that this is one of the best dance floors around the county to dance on.
Yeah.
Now, whereabouts is this?
Right across the road.
On the Ridge Road?
Right here on the Ridge Road, the old hotel. The third floor is a dance hall, all the hotel.
Is that the hotel that's got the outhouse that's two floors
high? Yeah, I guess well, I've never been up in there for years, but the orchestra, the floor up there is just as good as ever was.
Yeah.
Only I guess it's kind of, it ain't safe to put a crowd up in there anymore.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
But the last time I was up there was when they had the centennial here.
Yeah.
And they had a dance up there that night, but they say that's an awful good floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awful good floor.
Well, they used to, guys, you go up there in that great big hall like that, that'd be crowded, you know, you couldn't hardly get a place to dance.
And that made the building shake.
Yeah. Yeah. And they come from all over, you know. Medina, Lindenville, all those places. Kirkville.
What did the ladies wear?
What kind of dresses would the girls have on? Fancy ones, or?
Well, they wore, most of them wore long dresses, I remember. Yeah. Long, regular dresses. Yeah.
Can you remember of anybody ever working around here using oxen to plow or work in the field?
I don't remember anybody ever used oxen, only your grandfather up there. And I can remember years ago, they used to have that place down Paradise Road.
Yeah.
And they used to turn their cattle out. They used to keep cattle down in there. They had the fence in and they kicked cattle down there. But through the winter, if they left any cattle down there, they used to have to go down through there once in a while and take, well, they had somebody down there, somebody lived in those that house in once a time.
John Haley.
On the east side, there was a person named Mocargo lived there. And the fellow that lived in Mocargo, he'd feed the stuff. And if you got out of hay or anything, you'd have to get it from up to the farms up here. And I can remember him going down one day and then coming back. You know the way cattle are going in cold weather, when they breathe, the air and stuff come out like it's kind of smoky. Like, you know, how the
steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steam. Well, Maywolf's folks lived up there where Jimmy Moore lives now, in that house. And the girl, Min Cole, had come down there to visit him. And Jay and Rocky went down to get their horse. She was getting ready to go home. And they drove up in front of the place, and somebody with these oxen came down the road, blowing that steam outside like that, and Jesus, the horse whirled around, and he went up the road, and he ran clear to George Anderson's barn. They had to run him into the yard where they could stop it. I know they used to laugh about it, because Rocky was son of Jay, and he says to Jay, he says, wait a minute, and he says, now get out. Jay says, you get hold of these lines and help hang on to this horse, because he got scared of these oxen. But I don't remember any other buddy that had any oxen outside of your grandfather up there.
Was the Ridge Road dirt at that
time? Yeah. Yeah, it was dirt until 1924. Dad used to always have calves around there when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And break calves and drive them on a sled to play with. And Aunt Ella's told me that he'd hitch up two calves when he was going to school in the wintertime on a sled, and they'd go to school driving these calves, these little oxen to school. His dad and his three sisters, and when they got to school, they'd turn the calves around and they'd go home. And then grandfather put them back in the barn. Yeah. That was one of the first school buses that we were going on.
School buses, bossies.
Yeah, two bossies. But
when Henry and I was kids and lived up here, we used to have a heifer, see? Young heifer, and either had a rope, so you could drive her anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to drive down here at the village, you know, and there's always a bunch of kids would run out and want to ride. We'd get two, three on the sled, and we'd pull the hauler off the kid, and away she'd go up there, and those kids would be, some of them dragging when we got up there, and some of them in a snowbank.
What about when he went first went to school?
Where'd you first go to school? Over here at the Cobblestone Schoolhouse?
Yeah, yeah.
Who was the teacher?
Mrs. McKinney, I think.
Yeah.
His name was McKinney.
Can you remember when Doc Ladin taught over there?
No. Miss McKinney taught there, and then there was another lady from Melvin taught there. Then Frank Thurber taught. And my sister taught there for a season or two.
What was her name?
Josephine taught there.
Yeah.
Josephine Palmer. Charlie, do you remember when they had church services up in the old West Church?
Yeah.
Well, was that Free Methodist then? Was that a Free Methodist church at the time?
Yeah. They used to have Christian Endeavor over here, see? Sunday nights.
Yeah.
And then they have a lot of meetings up there at the Methodist Church at times. By the time they had those revival meetings up there, a bunch of us kids would go over here to the Christian Endeavor here. We'd hustle and get out of the church here. and you should go up there and see if they have those, well, the Len Laxon, and Len was one of them, and I don't know, there's Mrs. Green, and there's quite a few of them in there, and did it how they would holler. And it was quite a, we used to get up there, and I don't know how it was, but anyway, we knew that some of them was going to be around there that would holler or do something. And there'd be Eunice Ward, Letty Knickerbocker, and myself, Georgie Bakel, Arthur Hutchinson. Probably there was quite a few of us who'd go up there and be sitting in one place, but we'd be expecting it, but still, when one of them would holler, we'd all jump that high, you know. The church would be quiet. All of a sudden, somebody holler, "Amen," or something like that, and you could hear them for a while.
When did they quit having church service up there?
Huh?
How long ago did they quit having church service up there?
Well, I can't tell just how long ago it was, but it wasn't long after they quit having churches there when they done away with this town. They had the used to vote down here at the hotel, and then they turned that into a town meeting up there.
Town hall.
Town hall up there. I don't know just how.
That's the only place I've ever voted up there at that town hall, as I remember.
Yeah.
Who was the first president you voted for?
President?
Yeah.
He got shot in Buffalo.
McKinley,
was it?
Yeah. You voted for McKinley?
Yeah.
How'd he feel when he got shot?
Did that kind of shake up the town around here when he got shot?
Oh, in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not much more than it does when a president dies around here. But I can remember him. He was. Seems he was. Reached out to shake hands with this, what was that fellow's name?
Salgaz.
Yeah, reached out to shake hands and this fellow pulled the trigger and killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, I've heard say that when they heard the news around here, George Anderson was talking to some of his neighbors and he says, "I just heard the telegram come to Albany, somebody's come home and said that the president's been shot in Buffalo." And he says, "I'm sorry, but he says, I'm glad it was him instead of me."
No, I can remember when you lived there, where your son lives now, and Fred used to, well, we'd get sort of sitting around down there, and Fred'd say, "Well, let's go up and see Nahum." And we'd drive up there to Nahum Latins, and they lived there, you lived there, and you was born up there. I don't remember when you was first born there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fred Rowley always liked horses pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he have race horses when he was younger?
He had a race horse. He had Tommy L. And I used to. See, we went down there. We lived up here on the Eamon farm up here. And worked for Mr. Kemp. My father did. And then when there come fall, he'd work over there in the dry house. And anyway, Mr. Kemp wanted to work the farm. Well, he took the farm. And we was there 2-3 years, I guess. And something over the taxes, the road taxes at that time, and some of the farmers paid their own taxes, and some of the other farmers let the people that's working the farms, lots of farmers was on shares at those days, and they had the man that worked on the farm work the road tax out.
He had to work the tax, he had to work on the road so many days.
Yeah. And,
I remember.
And we kind of, well, my father didn't just like that, and Rowley wanted him to come down there and work that farm.
And
George Lewis and his father was ready to take this farm up there, and Mr. Kemp let him have it. So we went down there to Rowley farm, and Fan was there then, that's Fred's wife. And she, the first year we lived down there, she was there. And my father was taken sick. Well, anyway, the next spring we had an auction. They sold out and moved up here in this house here. We lived in this house here.
What year was it?
Mrs. Latin owned this place at that time. Mary Latin, Doc Latin's mother.
No, that's right.
And we lived here. Then we, Mr. Kemp, or my father, got better, and he went to work for George Anderson up there. George Anderson at that time kept 2-3 men.
Yeah.
And Mr. Kemp came out there one day, and he said to my father, he always called him Palmer. He says, Palmer, he says, I made one big mistake. And as quick as this, these people's time is out, he says, I want you to come back here and work this farm, which we did. And we stayed there until 1900, well, after my father died. And then my mother and Henry, they moved up to 1920 up here on this road.
No, I remember when you lived up here at the Kemp farm.
Yeah.
It was as late as the 30s you was living there.
Well, Henry moved up there, and then Whitney, Mrs. Emmons, told Henry that she's got to have an old dock house, didn't want Whitney to work his farm anymore. He was living down there at Carlton Station. He says, Jesus, if you leave him down here, he says, I'll lose my farm. So she had to take him up there, and he wanted to work that farm up there. So Henry had to go and buy, he went up there and bought this place up there where they lived. And then it run along quite a long time, and Latin had moved all around different places, and he lived over in Joshua, called me up or wrote me a letter. I'd worked muck up there 4 years. And she says, I quit, because that's when the depression came on. They said, you want to get enough stuff out of your crops, you know, to pay for your packages. And I quit. And she called up and wanted me to be ready. She's coming down through here, and she wanted me to go back with them. Well, I went back with her. And Charlie Latin was working for
Preston.
Preston, I think.
Yeah.
And he had to go. He had to go over in Pennsylvania somewhere. And we had to go where Doc was doctoring, in that same place. And I sat there in the car, waiting for him. He had to go into some place there to do some business there. And I said, when he came out, I said, I think Doc Eamon just went down by here. He said, we'll drive down to the village and find, down to the city, he says, and find out where his doctor is, and we go in, or where his office is, and go in to see him. So we did. And he wanted me to stay there, and I wasn't dressed to stay all night any place to. But he insisted on me staying, and he wanted me to take that farm. Then I went back up on that farm in 1928. And I worked that winter, because he hadn't trimmed the orchard, he hadn't done nothing. It is in an awful shape. And I got another fellow go with me, and he bashed it in that old white house there, where Virgil, there are those Burbridge, or something like that, lives there now. Burbridge, I think. And we bashed it in there. We trimmed that orchard all up in good shape and cleaned the place up pretty good. And he wanted me to work. And Mrs. Greer, next spring, Mrs. Greer kept house for me the first year. First summer.
Greer.
And he kept house for me. And I went out on the farm. I was up there on the farm 14 years. And after Doc died, things weren't just the way they should be, and I told him I was all through farming, and I went back up. I bought that place up there across from Henry. And I was up there about 20 years. Then I came down here and bought this place.
Farming around here was from farms, is that right?
Gent diversified. They raised cattle and they wheat and oats and every little farm. Instead, it was a unit to itself. It was self-sufficient. They had to buy coffee and tea and things like that, but they raised their own food.
Well, somewhere you said about throwing a ball.
Yeah, there was a lot of food around here.
Yeah, more than now.
years ago in Clarendon, there was more fruit trees than any town in the state at one time.
Right. A long time before he died. I don't know where he...
The last time I saw him was over at Jim McEwen's funeral. And that's probably 18 or 20 years ago.
Whose funeral?
Jim McEwen's, a cousin of mine over in Caledonia. Yeah. Or he married a cousin of mine. Well, Prusy's always lived on the corner house up here. Didn't they, since you can remember? Prusy's
yeah.
lived there?
Yeah. I remember my old man Prusy. That's Charlie Prusy's father.
Jake
Prusy. They lived there, and then Charlie moved up there. And then Ida died, and Frank moved in there. And one day we lived up there after Glutie died. We sat there watching television, my wife and I. Who walked in but Frank in the back door, and he walked in. And I says to him that night, I said, "Where are you going now?" And he says, "I'm going down to Bill's." Bill was living down around Spencerport or someplace at that time. Well, I says, "Why don't you stay here all night and go in the morning?" "No," he says, "it was a nice night." He says, "I'll go on down and be there in the morning." And I never see him afterwards.
When they lived up here in the corner house, years ago, you know, there was a Masonic lodge up there in that upper room.
They said so, yeah.
And he showed me a secret place in that fireplace. That was back in 1919.
Yeah.
And I've been there since and talked with May Wolf about it, and I'll be darned if I can locate the place. It was a secret hiding place in that fireplace.
I never was up in there. I've heard about it, but I never was up in there. I never was upstairs in the house. Many times I've been in there.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful room up there. The prettiest fireplace anywhere in New York State.
What was it, a big hiding place, or for money, or for people?
I don't know. It was a little trap door. It was showed to me. You could put a nail on a string, he told me, and drop down there and hear papers rattling. And there's a lot of stuff to say that when the Morgan episode, Morgan went up the Ridge Road, and they don't know how they stayed there overnight or not, I don't know. But it was a Masonic meeting hall. The Royal Arch Masons met there in 1824. My great-grandfather was the high priest of this chapter and represented this chapter in the conclave in Albany in 1824. That's in the record books. I wish we could find that secret place in that fireplace, the papers in there. It'd be wonderful.
Maybe it's money.
Well, I don't know. Maybe continental currency wouldn't be worth too much. It'd be worth as much as a dollar today, maybe. A silver dime, I see in the paper today, is worth 38 cents.
Yeah. Oh, as many times as I've been in the house, I never as much more, well, I never was upstairs in the house.
Yeah.
And. I've heard about that room and everything on it, but I never went up there. Part of that house was built the same time as this Fairhaven Hotel was built.
1824.
I don't know what.
1824, they say.
But see, Getty Prusy, her name was Latin. She married Getty Latin. Her name was us, and Guy Latin, and Louise.
Yeah.
And they lived there when I first remember, in part of that house. Somebody said that they built on, some of the Prusys built on for them to live in there. And then the next time I knew about them, they lived in that house that burned up on the Eamon Park. They lived over there. That's where Guy died.
You remember Guy?
Yeah.
What'd he have, diphtheria?
Huh?
What do you have, diphtheria?
Yeah. And I used to have a big billy goat. He stood up that high. And I couldn't drive him. I was a kid, and I wasn't big enough to drive him. And Guy used to help me harness him up and get me in the car, and then he'd lead him around for me.
Yeah.
And, I remember Guy. And
that's right, they were related to the Prusys.
Yeah.
There was
and then they, I think, it seems to me that, I don't know whether Getty died there in that house or whether just Guy, but then, of course, Louise, she married Stacy, and they lived everywhere.
Yeah, they lived up on our road one year. They worked a farm up there, down the road.
They worked that part of that bullet farm, didn't they, up there, that farm?
Yeah. Arthur Bullard's farm.
Yeah. Frank was a good fellow and a good fellow to have around, but still, he didn't have much more of a... Well, he bought a team of horses over there when he was on that farm there. It was worth more than the farm was.
Probably.
And he never got them paid for. Then he went over on the Latin Road, or over on the Raleigh Road there, and he worked a farm over there for a year or so.
Who was that, Stacy or Frank Lucci?
Stacy.
Yeah.
And I know Charlie Lucci gave him that old driving horse that he used to have over there. He didn't do very well over there, and then he came back around here working for the day.
Louise was postmaster here once, wasn't it? Louise Stacy was postmaster here.
Yeah. No, I can remember these stores over here. That first store over here, before it burned, there was a meat market there. I don't know whether Clara White owned all those buildings in there or how it was, but anyway.
Well, he owned that block where the stores were, the whole thing, didn't he?
The whole block.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they had that meat market in there. The fellow named the first people that I remember on it, fellow named Davis, and he lived down in back of the town building there, on the town building now, in that house that belonged to the farm at that time. And he was from Ridgeway. He ran it for a while, then afterwards, I don't know, Ernest Hewitt and somebody else run it for a while. Then they had the fire and that burned up.
I remember when the fire burnt the place down. It was about 1908 or 9, as I remember, when Bert Appleton run the store.
Yeah, there was...
Burned up along in the spring of the year, early in the spring.
See, there was a store there, the meat market, the grocery store. And then there was a hallway up over the store. That they used to have good Templars out there.
Yeah, there was a dance hall up there too, wasn't there?
Huh?
Did they? That's where they had dances up in that?
Yeah. And then there was a post office. And then the Knickerbocker store. And the meat and the harness shop.
Yeah. Was Knickerbocker's store in there too on that side?
Yeah. That's before he went over here.
And you remember Harm probably.
Yeah.
He ran a good store. He had good stuff.
He had everything.
Can you remember Cyrus Wetherill?
Cyrus Wetherill?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Was he doing any stone work when you remember?
I can remember doing mason work, yeah.
Well,
he used to go fishing quite often.
But he laid a lot of these cobblestone houses around here.
Yeah.
Cyrus Wetherill.
He lives down there. Well, I don't know who does live in down there.
Vinnie St. John. Vinnie St. John lives down there, where he lived. And May Wolf told me once that on some of the windows in the back of that house, they had signed their names on the windows in the kitchen with a diamond. Gee, it would be great to get a hold of one of those today with Cyrus Wetherill's name on it with cobblestone. But the house had been overhauled. And Frank's lived there. And they were some relation to Wetherill, and they probably threw these old windows away. It's all modern windows now. I'll bet you that this stone wall under your house here, this herringbone, Cyrus Wetherill laid it. Because he come up with that pattern around here.
Yeah,
was he a big man or a little man?
No, he wasn't a very big man. He was a small man, and I remember he was lame. Rheumatism or something like that.
Well, he laid the west end of the Anderson farm up here, the house there on the Anderson farm. He laid that because I don't know whether it was Alice Hatch or my cousin. After they moved away from there and out in Seattle, and said that Wetherill laid that house in the 1850s. It was the wing on the other part of the house, and Wetherill laid that.
Yeah. Yeah. What those Anderson boys are both dead, is it?
Oh, sure. Rob Anderson went away from here, in the 1920s. He come back after Uncle George died. and his mother died, he came back here and worked the farm, lived there for a few years. But he wasn't a good farmer, didn't seem to make a go of it, so he sold out and went back to the West Coast where he'd been living out there.
That's what I've often thought, you know, they... the fellows that never drank anything or done anything and they had the farm left to them and then lose it.
You know what?
I couldn't figure that out. They've been people that have gambled or done something like that and lost it. It would have been different. But
Howard, he didn't, I guess he never helped Uncle George on the farm there. He was always doing something else.
Yeah.
And he went to, later years, he went to Florida.
Well, I was trying to think here, since I've been laid up around here, these are the people come in and get talking about the things, and I said that I thought that Bart Latin at one time lived up there, or Charlie Manziel.
Yeah, yeah. It was my grandmother's farm.
Yeah.
She got it from her father, Nahum Anderson.
Yeah.
And when Granddad started housekeeping, he went down here in Carlton. John, his brother, lived across the road at the end of the Waterport Road there. And Lige lived up the road a ways, and he lived over on the other road going into Waterport. Three of the brothers lived down there. And Aunt Ella was born down there about 1863. Yeah. And then he came up here and lived on Gaines Basin Road where Bill Ladd lives today. I don't know how long he lived there, but he lived there, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years. And then he went across the road to this bigger house and bigger farm, and the rest of the kids was born there. My dad was born in the house there where Bill lives. And then he bought the farm from Brigadier Bullard when Brig died. Was Charlie Cliff married once before he married Anna?
Was he married before
Was he married before he married Anna Ladd?
Someone said he was, but I never knew. I never see his wife, and I never. When I knew him, he never was married. He was single. But someone said he was married before I knew him.